You are listening to the Riverside Community Church podcast. For more information, visit us at www.riversideconnect.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'd like to say welcome. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning. And my name is Dave Longstreth. I'm the outreach pastor here at Riverside. So glad to have you. If you're new with us today and I haven't yet had the opportunity to meet you, I want to invite you after service. I'll be right down here around the stage afterwards. I'd love the opportunity to meet you if I haven't done so already. And also want to invite you today, if you have your smartphones or your tablets, you can follow along with our notes by getting the Riverside app. If you have that app, you know how awesome it is. But our notes are in there. You can find all kinds of other great things in there as well. And we're in a new year, not necessarily a new year for you, but it's a new year for us here at Riverside because we follow the school calendar and we're in our new fall semester. This year we kicked off with a new theme, and that theme is Step Forward. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So each week of this next year, what we want to do is challenge all of us to step forward in some way. And what great potential this next year has for our faith walks, I'll tell you that. And we're also beginning a new series today, this week, and it's titled Step Forward with Power. You just saw the video. Do you understand what you just saw in that video? Wind power, right? How many of you like wind power? One person. Okay, we're off to a good start. So why did we choose a wind turbine for the imagery of this new series, Step Forward with Power? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you why. So there's different elements that we can find in Scripture that describe the Spirit of God. And one of those elements is wind or breath. And that's referenced the most throughout the Scriptures. Even at the very beginning of the Scriptures, we see in the story of Genesis that darkness covered the deep waters and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of these waters. And the story goes on to illustrate that the Spirit of God brought beauty and brought order to the chaos of our universe through a process. And that process began from separating light and darkness, separating the earth from the heavens. And the process continued with populating the earth, starting with vegetation, then to fish, then to birds and animals, and finally to us, the creation of humanity. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image so that they can be like us. They will reign over all the earth.'" So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Genesis 2:7 goes on to say, "Then God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living person." So why do I say all that? This isn't a message about creation or anything like that. I'm basically trying to say that God took a universe that was full of chaos, and he created a new world that was once formless and void that would display his beauty and display his expression through his creation. Therefore, God, he brought beauty and order to the chaos, and he created us in his image so that we would be rulers over this creation so that we would extend the beauty and order to the rest of the creation. That's why I say that today. And God breathed into the dust. He breathed into dust to make us living souls. And this breath of God, this is the energy that we require to fulfill our mission here on earth. And as humanity, as individuals like you and me, even today in our lifetime. So this isn't the only account of God breathing his Spirit into us. That's just the very beginning. We'll go ahead many, many years to when Jesus had died and rose from the grave. And then Jesus appears to his disciples after raising from the dead. And the Scriptures say that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So Jesus died, crucified. He rose up from the dead. He appeared to his disciples and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What do we ultimately receive when God breathes his Spirit into us? We receive a gift. And I want to talk about that gift today. That gift empowers us. It empowers us to reach our God-given potential for his glory. And if you look up the word empower, it means to literally means to give someone power to do something. So God empowers us to bring beauty and order to the chaos of our world when we step forward with the Holy Spirit. So today's text, if you want to look in your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 24. It's also in the notes, Luke 24 and the book of Acts 1 as well. Both these texts take place after Jesus rose from the dead. Both these texts, we see Jesus speaking. So these are the words of Christ himself. And we're going to begin with Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus says this, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." In Acts 1, we look at verse 8, Jesus says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So let's start with this question. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what is this power that he said that we will receive with the Spirit? Probably a good place to begin, right? This whole message series of stepping forward with power. So today I'd like to share five words with you. And these five words will describe the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God walks with us in our everyday lives. And this first thought that I want to share is this. I can step forward with power because the Spirit is my friend. Okay, can you say that with me? The Spirit is my friend. The Spirit can be a friend. The Spirit can be a comforter to us. The Spirit can help us along the way, especially when our lives are filled with chaos. Now, the Holy Spirit sometimes is called the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever heard that? The Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not a big fan of ghosts, okay? Seeing a real ghost would scare me. If I'm alone in the dark, the last thing I want to do is see a ghost. How about you? Maybe you're daring, more daring than I am. But seeing a ghost, a real live ghost, would probably do the opposite of bring me comfort, okay? So rather than saying, I think the Holy Spirit is a Holy Ghost, I'd rather say, I think the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a friend. What is a comforter? I mean, a real comforter? It's a cuddly blanket, right? A fuzzy blanket that keeps us warm when it's cold outside. Well, like a comforter, the Spirit embraces us when the world around us turns cold. The Spirit brings us comfort in the midst of our pain. The Spirit brings us comfort in times of worry, in times of panic or anxiety. Anybody know this to be true for your life? The Spirit comes alongside of us when we're feeling alone or when we need a friend like no other friend. In the scriptures, there's a Greek word for the Holy Spirit, and that word is paraclete. Paraclete means the one who is called alongside to help. And that's what a true friend is, isn't it? Someone who walks alongside of us, someone who helps us along the way. Especially in seasons of life where it's just chaos. It's good to have our friends around us, right? It's good to surround ourselves with friends. It's good for us to have our family close to us, especially in those times. And sometimes my life is so crazy. Sometimes my life is so filled with chaos. And at the end of the day, I go home and there's only a very small number of people I want to see. And I'm sorry, but it's none of you sitting here right now. It's my family. Okay? But I love you all. Okay? But it's my family. Anybody else ever feel that way, or am I just a jerk? And, you know, don't tell my kids this, but sometimes I don't even want to see my kids. I just want to see my wife, right? Anybody? No, you don't have to raise your hand. Okay. But in these times, especially in these times, we need to remember this, that we can step forward with power because the Spirit of God living within us is our friend. And the Spirit is a friend like no other. And even when the closest of our closest relationships won't give us what we actually need or want, we can kind of lock ourselves away from the world and know that the Spirit of God is living within us, and that in and of itself is enough. So the Spirit is a friend to us, and this, of course, is a very wonderful thing, right? But that's just the beginning. The Spirit not only brings us comfort, but the Spirit also has our back. The thought here is this, that I can step forward with power because the Spirit is my advocate. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11 says this, "It is best for you that I go away, because if I don't," this is Jesus talking, "because if I don't go away, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Now, try to illustrate this here for you. Before we can come to our faith in Christ, before we can begin a relationship with God, the one who created us, our hearts have to be put on trial for the case of Jesus. And what I mean by that is that we need to realize that our sin, our selfishness, our wrongdoing, our just being us, right, as human beings, it separates us from God. Because God is perfect, God is holy, He is pure in everything that is good, and we are not. I'm sorry to tell you, but you're not, and neither am I. So this sin of ours, it separates us from this perfect, pure, good, loving God. Okay, so there needs to be a price to be paid so that we can be in right relationship with Him. And that price has been paid, and that price has been paid by Jesus Christ, God's Son, who made that sacrifice and gave His life, was crucified, put to death, and He rose from the grave. So this is God's Son, and a sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross. And Jesus, who is now the only way, He is the only way for us to enter into God's kingdom, having willingly paid our ransom, He did that by such a great sacrifice, He was empowered to make that sacrifice by God's Spirit who was living within Him, right? It wasn't just because Jesus was a great man, it was because He was also the Son of God and that Spirit of God lived within Him. And you remember the story of the night Jesus was betrayed. He went to the garden, He prayed, and He said, God, not my will, but yours be done. But if you can, take this cup from me. Like, it was obviously, as we can imagine, it was an incredible sacrifice, and He didn't deserve it. But He willingly did it. And then He was put to death. Now this resurrection power, we see that He raised from the dead 3 days later. Through this resurrection, through this promise of the Scriptures, He now sends us that same power that allowed Him to make that sacrifice, but also that raised Him from the dead. That same power He sends to us. And here's where it says that. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says this. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, now lives in you. Do we get that? I mean, if you've been around, I've been here for 17 years almost, and been following Christ for, I don't know, what's this, 20, 30 years? I don't know, 20 years? How old am I? I've been following God for a long time. I've heard this a lot, but I have to, somewhat ashamed, I have to say this to you, that I must not believe it fully sometimes, or a lot of times. That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Do you believe that? This is the Word of God. It goes on to say, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. So when we come to Jesus and we begin following Him, the Spirit of God becomes like a defense attorney on our behalf, an advocate for our souls. And what does an advocate do? An advocate fights for something or fights for someone. It gives voice to those without a voice. The Spirit of God represents us when we choose to give our lives to Christ. The Spirit fights for us. The Spirit intervenes for us. It makes us right in the sight of a pure and good and holy God because Jesus is in us through the power of that Spirit and stays with us. And that power is a force to be reckoned with, and it's now on our side. Again, do you get this? The Bible says in the same chapter of Romans that if God is for us, then who can be against us? How many of you heard that before? How many of us quote that sometimes when the world is crazy around us? If God is for me, then who can be against me? Well, I'll tell you what, I believe it whenever I realize that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in me. So we can step forward with power because God is for us and God has given us His Spirit, an advocate who now fights for us. And when I realize this truly, when I realize this, I really do feel like I have power on my side. How about you? So the Spirit's a friend who brings us comfort. The Spirit is an advocate who intervenes on our behalf. And the Spirit also helps us grow in God's plans for our lives because I can step forward with power because the Spirit is my trainer. Can you say the Spirit is my trainer? Now, I go to the gym pretty regularly, can't you tell? Which way to the gym? I've been going for a long time. It's too bad that it doesn't show better than it does. But many times I'll see somebody there. Hey, Laurel's always there. I see you, Laurel, there. Good job. All right. But many times I'll see someone there at the gym here down the street, and they'll be working with a personal trainer and getting far more out of the workout than I am because they're with a personal trainer. And if I had money to throw around, maybe I'd get a personal trainer too. But for now, I guess I'll just eavesdrop. So what does a personal trainer do? A personal trainer trains us to be the best version of ourselves in a particular area or a particular field based on our current season of our lives. So in other words, if our athletic ability is a 1 on a scale from 1 to 10, a personal trainer might try to get us to a 3 or 4 if that's what our goal is, right? If we want to lose 30 pounds through diet and exercise, a personal trainer is going to push us to lose those pounds and keep those pounds off, but show us how we can accomplish our goal and keep us to it. For competitors, a trainer readies them for what's ahead. That's important. A trainer readies somebody for what's ahead, especially if they're preparing for like a big fight, a big race, a big event, a big game, or whatever that may be. Here's what I need to do, and a personal trainer is going to come alongside of me and prepare me for that. If I had to run the marathon, whenever that happens again, I don't know, I don't follow racing, but if I had to do that, I'd probably make it a couple hundred yards and drop over dead. Because I don't like running, I'm not a runner. And I can't run. I mean, I can, but it's ugly. So if I had a big race and I had to do it, if somebody was going to pay me $100,000 to go run a marathon, if somebody wants to, just talk to me after service. But if somebody's going to pay me $100,000 to go run a marathon, what am I going to do? I'm going to go get a trainer, right? I'm going to have them train me for this big marathon that's ahead. I'm not going to wait until the marathon and say, ah, anybody got the good number of a trainer? Well, I'm sitting there in the starting line. You know what I mean? Too late then. What does the Spirit train us to do? The Spirit trains us to remember Christ. The Spirit trains us to think like Christ. The Spirit trains us to act like Christ because the Spirit lived in Christ. The Spirit is Christ. And that Spirit trains us for what lies ahead as well. Now, that's important. The things that we can see in front of us, but even more importantly, those things that may blindside us, good or bad. The Spirit trains us ahead of time for that. That's amazing. That's supernatural. And life does like to blindside us, doesn't it? How many of you have been blindsided? How many of you are being blindsided? You don't have to raise your hand, but I know your stories. We're a family. So here's an important thought. And I said it before, I'll say it again. We can't wait until that moment. We can't wait until that fight has already started to say, okay, now I need to have somebody train me. You got to do it ahead of time. We have to be coached in order so that we can prepare, so that then we can be victorious when that time comes. I remember times in my life, and I challenge you to remember times in your life. Look back. See the faithfulness of God through some of those difficult or even incredible seasons. It could be an incredible opportunity that requires an incredible amount of effort and sanity to get through. It could be a devastating circumstance. Like I said, we're family. I know the stuff that we go through. I know the loss of loved ones that we go through. I've had it myself too. I remember those seasons. I know the diagnosis. I know the job situation, the financial situation that can just turn our lives upside down. I know of incredible opportunities that I've seen some of us be able to step into, but still needing that Spirit of God to go with us. I look back on those seasons of my life and I say, wow, if I hadn't had the Spirit of God to take me through it, how would have I survived, right? How many of you feel that same way? So the training process prepares us for what's ahead. The training process, when the Spirit of God lives within us, it produces results. And what results are those? Those results help us to be more loving, helping us to be more joyful. When the Spirit of God coaches us, we're more peaceful, we're more patient, and more kind. The Spirit trains us to be filled with goodness, to be filled with faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does any of that sound familiar to you? Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it's the fruits of the Spirit. Well, of course, the fruits of the Spirit will be evident in our lives if the Spirit is training us. So if you want to know if the Spirit is alive in you and at work in you, and if you are allowing the Spirit access in your life, then you should see some of these fruits. And if you don't, then maybe you need to allow access to that Spirit that's living in you. I can step forward with power because the Spirit coaches me and trains me in the process of stepping forward. So I can step forward with confidence, knowing that the Spirit within me is stronger than anything that I'm going to come up against. Whether I know what it is ahead of time or whether I don't, and it blindsides me, I know with confidence that the Spirit is stronger than anything I come up against, because the Spirit's my friend who comforts me. The Spirit is my advocate who intervenes for me. The Spirit is my trainer who prepares me, but it doesn't stop there. I can also step forward with power because the Spirit is my investor. Can you say that? The Spirit is my investor. Now, we're not all going to be rich tomorrow when the stock market opens. Okay? That's not what that means. What I mean is the Spirit, like an investor, like a benefactor, gives us some pretty incredible gifts. I'm just going to take a shot at naming some of these gifts. I'm hardly going to try to name them all because that would take way too much time, but there's very obvious places in the Scripture where these gifts are pointed out: serving, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leading, speaking prophetically, acts of mercy, giving words of wisdom or knowledge, faith, gift of healing, miracles like we sung about today, discerning wrong spirits, speaking in different kind of tongues, interpreting different kind of tongues. The Spirit also builds up his church through giving us a variety of spiritual roles, and these roles can include apostle and prophet, evangelist, teacher, healer, pastor, helper, administrator. But this isn't an exhaustive list. You can see stories all throughout the Scripture of people doing incredible things for God's glory because he gifted them in certain areas. And if you read those stories and you get to know these characters that are in the Scriptures, you'll see that there's far more gifts that we didn't even touch here that are being operated on. These are gifts from the Holy Spirit. Part of what we do here, side note, part of what we do here at Riverside is we help you to understand what gifts that you've been given, because each of us have unique gifts. No two of us are the same. Okay, so each of us have our different gifts, and sometimes it's hard to figure out what those gifts are. So what we want to do here at Riverside is help you find out what are those gifts that God has given you, and how can you use those gifts to join in on this work that God's doing and wants us to do to contribute to his kingdom. That aside now, in the business world, what does every startup need? Startup needs an investor, right? Or more investors, some investors. Right, because it's not good enough for somebody to believe in you to help you reach your potential. Someone also needs to invest in you. Somebody needs to equip you and empower you to go for it. The Spirit does this within us. The Spirit invests in us certain gifts that will empower us to reach our God-given potential and carry out those plans that he has for us. So we can step forward in power because the gifts that the Spirit has given us, he uniquely invests in each one of us, uniquely. Each of us here today are unique, and we have a unique set of gifts for his purposes. So knowing that we have an investor, that should give us the confidence to step forward with power. An investor who's also a friend, who's also an advocate, who's also a trainer, and finally, a guide. I can step forward with power because the Spirit is my guide. Can you say that with me? The Spirit is my guide. It's difficult to have courage to step forward when the way in front of you is unknown, isn't it? My family and I, we know this all too well. Even now in our lives, we know that we need to trust God and that he will guide us and that he will provide for us where he guides us. And for someone like me, if I can be honest with you, that's pretty darn difficult, especially because I feel responsible for the livelihood of my family. I like to know what's the next step before I take it. I used to think I was a risk taker. Not really. I want to be. Unfortunately, I'm not. I like to analyze everything to death and make sure that the decision is solid, then take the step. Anybody else here? I see a few people chuckling. Okay. You're bad, just like me. I'm just kidding. Hats off to those of you who can take bigger risks. But life is life, and how many of us really do know what even that next step is? At best, we see one step, we see maybe two. But I don't know, the norm for me seems to be like I see half a step and then I land somewhere else where I didn't even think I was going to land. So we need the Spirit to be our guide. The Spirit leads us and guides us also into all truth, into all that is pure and all that is good. That's where the Spirit will lead us. It's an easy litmus test so that we can discern whether we feel like the Spirit of God is leading us to this or whether we feel like it's just our own ambition or our own selfishness. And that test is this. Is the direction that you're feeling led to, is that pure and good? Is that direction true to who God is and to the plans that he has put in your heart? We only know what we know at any given time. And I don't think anybody here is a future teller. Are you? Fortune teller, future teller, whatever. If you can predict the future, then you probably wouldn't be sitting here. None of us can. So every day we take steps of faith. Every day we take even small steps of faith. And that's called life. Sometimes in our lives, we take very large steps of faith, don't we? Sometimes in our lives, we take very big and very risky steps of faith, don't we? And we hope for the best. But when we operate in the Spirit of God, then we can be confident that we can step forward with power because the Spirit will guide us and navigate us if we stay tuned into the Spirit. And that is an incredible promise. So we can step forward with power because the Spirit of God that lives within us. The Spirit is a friend who comforts us. The Spirit is an advocate who intervenes on our behalf. The Spirit is a trainer who prepares us for the days ahead. The Spirit is an investor who equips us to reach our God-given potential. And the Spirit is a guide who navigates us as we walk by faith. So I'd like to kind of bring this all home and put out a challenge to you this morning. And every time when I speak, whether I want you to know this, that every time, every single time that I'm up here speaking to you, I want to put a challenge out to you, but that challenge goes to me first. Never do I stand up here and preach at you. I preach at myself first and foremost. And it's an incredible opportunity to have this opportunity throughout the past week or two to work on this message because God has done 50 times more things in me than I expected him to do. So I speak to myself and I give this challenge myself, but I'm going to also give you this challenge today. You have a unique impact to make in this world. I'm going to say that again. You have a very unique impact to make in this world. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's the truth. It's a God-given fact. And there's not just one giant opportunity or one great big task that you're going to do and then that's it. Okay? This impact that God wants you to have in our world, it is a compilation of choices and actions that you make throughout your life. But there are also times and there are also opportunities where God has uniquely presented to you in order for you to step forward with power and help you to bring or help to bring beauty and order to the chaos of our world. Even today, even on this Sunday morning, whatever today is, October 8th, maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe there's something in front of you that you could use this gift that God has put on your lap today even, or this week, or very soon, to help further his kingdom or build his church. I remember there were certain times and certain seasons in my life where I realized that God had given me an opportunity or God had given me a gift and that was being called on for his purposes, even if I didn't know what they were, even if I didn't fully understand it. And sometimes I've even exercised those gifts or those opportunities, and I still don't know what the return is on that. And that's okay. And maybe someday I'll never know. Maybe someday, like Ray Bolts, for all you Ray Bolts fans, one day we get to heaven, somebody will come up and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed because of what you've done. That's old school there. Anybody know that one? Okay. Maybe it's through generosity. Maybe it's through giving your time to serve others or through the generosity of your financial support right where you're planted in this season of your life. Maybe God has given you a resource or resources that you can share or give away freely to others like we do with our clothing drive, for example. If you walk around this corner right now, you'll see a pile of bags and bags of winter clothing and stuff like that. We talked about it earlier. That's awesome. And a couple weeks, we get to bring groceries in and toiletries and things like that. And we get to use some of our resources to help those around us in need. And that's awesome. I celebrate that. And I'm thankful for us as a church to be able to do that kind of stuff in our community. But maybe he has also given us resources that are beyond a bag of groceries and beyond a few pieces of clothing. Maybe we can use these resources that he's given us to and leverage them to bless others and make a significant impact in their lives for God's glory. Maybe the impact that God wants you to make is in your career, or maybe through your calling or your passion. He's gifted you in certain ways. He's gifted me, he's gifted you. Each one of us are uniquely gifted, and those gifts are from God. And maybe he's calling you to serve him in your career. Maybe that's vocational ministry, okay? I'm looking at Douglas and Leah right over there, and they're getting ready to go into vocational ministry full time. It's a calling, brother, and you're going for it. I'm proud of you guys. It's awesome. I get to enjoy vocational ministry as part of my career too. Or maybe for a lot of us, it's seeing your vocation as ministry. You don't have to be a full-time pastor to reach the world for Christ. In fact, you might be more successful in your vocation than if you were to be a full-time pastor, and that's probably the truth. That's why you do what you do and why I do what I do. So to see your vocation as a ministry instead of as a job. How many of us here are parents? You're going to impact the lives of your kids, right? You're going to. Whether you want to or not, as a parent, you're going to impact the lives of your kids. But how will you impact them? What are you teaching them? Do your actions match your teaching? Are you impacting them for the glory of God? Maybe he's calling you to make some changes in how you relate to your children as you parent them. Are you married? You will impact the life of your spouse. For better or for worse, you're going to impact your spouse, obviously, if you're married. Is the Spirit helping you to step forward in your relationship with your spouse? Are you building up this relationship? Are you strengthening God's presence in your family? Maybe your life and the way you live your life is an inspiration to those around you. You're out in the world, you're out in the community, you're out in your family, and people see your life and they see that you're different. That something about you is different, and it's inspiring. You don't have the same greed and lusts and things of this world that so many do. Something different about you, and you're an inspiration to others, and it's beautiful. It's to the beauty, and it speaks to the beauty of God and the order of his creation through the way you live your life. And he wants all of us to be an inspiration to those around us. He wants all of us to be his hands extended, his feet extended, and he wants us to live with inspiration, to be inspired by his beauty. That's why he created us in his image. So are you living with inspiration? Is that how someone would describe the way you live your life, with inspiration? Or would they describe it as just going through the motions? How would you describe your own life? Am I living with inspiration? Am I inspired? Or am I just going through the motions? You know, sometimes my answer is I'm just going through the motions. Pastor. Right? I can tell you from experience, it's far better to step forward with God inspired by the Spirit of God rather than just stepping forward and going through the motions and doing things on our own. Here's the thing. Step forward with power because the Spirit of God lives in you. Romans 8, right? 11. As the worship team's coming, I want to remind you of the story of Moses. Moses, he grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh. He had an incredible early life. And then one day he realizes his true identity is as a Hebrew. And he goes off and goes out into the wilderness. He becomes God's instrument because God calls him to lead God's people out of slavery. So Moses goes back. He does this through all the awesome things that we see in that story. And then for years, what does Moses and God's people do? They just wander around the desert. in search of what? A land that God had promised to them. Now, this land was full of wonderful, amazing, incredible opportunities and potential and promises. Okay? It's the promised land. But God was displeased with how his people were living. God was displeased how his people forgot about him. And he told Moses at one point in the journey this, you can go on to the promised land. Go ahead, take the people to the promised land, but I'm not going with you because of the condition of your hearts. You know what Moses said back? He said, God, if you don't go with us, we will not leave this place. Period. And I say that story to say this. That should be our attitude too. God, I know that I can take a step forward on my own strength. I know that this opportunity that's ahead of me, I can step forward into on my own strength. I know that this situation that I'm in right now, I can continue to fight and step forward in my own strength. But I will not move unless you go with me. That's power. Because it's not us. It's not anything that we can conjure on our own. It's the Spirit of God who lives within us. So what are you wanting to leave behind today? What's this promised land that you're wanting to go to? Is the Spirit of God with you? Are you moving with the Spirit, or are you just going through on your own strength, just going through the motions? And I want to ask you this final question. In a moment, I'm going to pray. The band's going to sing, lead us in a time of reflection. But this question is this. To what is the Spirit calling you to step forward? And I want to urge you to respond to this message. Before you sing, before you get up, before you walk out of this church, I want to urge you to look within yourself, quiet your soul for a few moments. Allow God to speak through you, speak to you through the power of the Spirit that he's placed in you. And for those of us here today and we're saying, I need direction today, I would say seek and find. For those of us here today who would say, I need confirmation in a certain area of my life, I would say wait for it. Wait for the confirmation. For those of us here today that are going to say, you know what, I've been living on my own power. I've been walking in my own power, not by the power of the Spirit. I would say invite the Spirit to live in you and then allow that Spirit access to your entire life. Every part of it. Finally, as we prepare our hearts, I would say this. When the Spirit speaks, listen. That seems silly to say. But how many of us actually listen and obey? Oh, when it doesn't cost us anything, it's easy to listen, right? When it's not a sacrifice, it's easy to listen. When it doesn't go against my own selfish ambition, then it's easy. But when it costs us something, when it's a sacrifice, when it goes against our own selfish ambition, then it's a different story. Don't justify. Don't make excuses. Don't ignore, don't pretend, oh, I can't hear the Spirit. Can't hear you. Just listen. Then obey on purpose. And move into action with power from heaven above. Step forward with power today. Let's pray. God, I want to first of all say thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus, your son, to make a way for us to be in right relationship with you. Thank you for that. Thank you that Jesus paid that price of my sin, of our sinful and selfish ways. And God, today I ask you for forgiveness. God, we ask you for forgiveness. And we ask that you would send us that same Spirit that lived in Christ that your word promises. So we choose now, for the first time maybe, maybe again for the 1,000th time, God, we choose right now to follow you, Jesus, and we choose to live by your Spirit. So Spirit of God living within us, our friend, please bring us comfort when the world turns cold. Please be a friend when we have nobody else. Please be our closest friend, and may your voice be louder than all the other friends. Spirit of God, living within us, our advocate, please intervene for us, not only for our eternal salvation and forgiveness, but also in the daily dealings of our lives. God, we trust that you will fight for us in ways that we cannot see and cannot know, that you fight for us against the powers and principalities of the dark world, and we ask that you would continue to keep us in the refuge of your will. Spirit of God, living within us, our trainer, we ask that you would prepare us for what lies ahead, for the blessings and for the hardships. We ask that you would train us to be like Jesus. Help us to bear the fruit that of all that is pure and all that is good, while you help us to break those habits of our selfishness. Spirit of God, living within us, our investor, we ask you for blessing. Would you give us the gifts to reach our God-given potential? Would you give us the gifts to accomplish all that you have planned for our lives? And would you help us to use the gifts that you've given, no matter how great these gifts, no matter how small, no matter how great of an impact or how small of an impact, that we could impact the lives of others and that we would help to bring beauty and order to the chaos of the world around us. And Spirit of God, within us, our guide, lead us closer to your will every day. Help us to navigate the choices that we have to make, the choices that are big, the choices that are small. Give us wisdom and all that we do as we pursue the direction of our lives, and help us to see more clearly your will in all things. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Riverside Community Church podcast. For more information, visit us at www.riversideconnect.org.